What are you guys doing? I hope this is not going to take time, but it's always a pleasure to meet with the servants. And I feel when the servants get together, I feel, you know, this is like an army of God and something really good and blessed. And I always love to hang around, you know, the servants specifically. It's something good. And as you know that our Lord, He gave a special attention to whether the 12 disciples or the 70 apostles, like he gave them special attention and spent time with them. And I really feel bad for not getting together a lot, and I really long for that, whether when we meet in a retreat or in a gathering or in a meeting or anything like this. And the only reason why, and I know that a lot of you would love to see us, you know, getting together more, especially as servants, whether, you know, praying or, you know, talking or fellowshipping together. We'd love to do that, but the only reason why we don't do it that often is that we don't want to add more on your schedule. We know that most of you have a lot already on your plate. But we really, like, just want to tell you, it's always a pleasure to be around you. I look forward for that. That's a beginning of a new quarter, so we wanted to talk about that. But before we do, usually before we gather together, we meet as the leaders first, and maybe, you know, get together in a retreat and prayer time, and then come and share with you everything that we came up with. And we had, you know, as I said, gathering with the leaders recently, and we meditated. You know, we had the spiritual part and the administration part. In the spiritual part, we meditated on the character of St. Paul. So I just want to share with you some of these meditations that was really, really good. And I hope you enjoy it too. I want you just to imagine, because this is the greatest example of a servant and a minister of God and a missionary. And I think that we should have the example of St. Paul in front of us all the time, especially when we're reading his epistles. It's great. It's the most humbling experience for any servant when he reads the epistles of St. Paul and see how great of a person and a servant he was. And as you know, that this man, he conquered the entire world for Christ. Just one single man, one single missionary, he invaded the entire world for Christ. Can you believe that one single man can turn Athens, you know, that city of you know, of philosophy, that city of sin, that city of, you know, great history to Christ? Not only Athens as a big city, but even Ephesus, a horrible city, and Corinth, and most of all, you know, what's the biggest city that Christ conquered for Christ? The biggest city in the entire world at that time. Rome, exactly. Rome. Rome was the capital of the world, by far. Like, it's the biggest, and the Roman Empire used to, you know, own most of the world back then. So it was the capital of the world. You know that St. Paul entered Rome in a procession? But not a procession of a pope or patriarch, but he entered in a procession as a prisoner, in a line with so many prisoners who are going to see, to be judged there and to be sentenced in Rome. St. Paul entered Rome as a prisoner, and he won this city, the capital of the world, for Christ as a prisoner. He stayed there for 2 years as a prisoner, and he converted the capital of the world to Christianity when he had no resources, no nothing, as a prisoner. Can you imagine that? What kind of a person is this? And as I said, we're not saying that to discourage you by any means, or, you know, to put you down or anything, but just to show you a great example and take him as an example. And as you know, that our theme this year is having Christ as an example and being on the image of Christ. Guess what St. Paul said? You know, and you'll be surprised. You know, he said that many times. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Who can say that? So, basically, if we imitate St. Paul, we really are imitating Christ. It was so difficult to differentiate between St. Paul and Christ. One of the writers, secular writers, he said, I would rank Paul more than Christ, except he was preaching Christianity. Like a secular person who said, who is the most influential person in the world? So he said, you know, Christ, number one, and then St. Paul after him. But he said, I would put Paul before Christ, except that Paul was preaching Christ, because he won the whole world for him back then. And St. Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He said even more than that. He said in Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example. You think that he was too proud? He wasn't. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. He said, take me as an example and walk on that pattern. He repeated that in 1 Corinthians 4:16, and he said, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. So, that's the example that we want to take. And when we take St. Paul as a servant and as a missionary and as a great soldier for Christ, you know, I think that's a very appropriate example for every one of us. The secret behind St. Paul's strength to gain the whole world for Christ and to say boldly, imitate me as I also imitate Christ, is that Christ was really in him. As I said, it was very difficult to differentiate between Christ and St. Paul. Christ means St. Paul, and St. Paul means Christ. There was that inseparable unity between both of them in an amazing way. Let me give you some of the verses that he said. In Philippians 1:21, and that was the quiet time a little while ago, for me to live is Christ. In other translations, for me, life is Christ. Even the Arabic translation, لي الحياة هي المسيح. For me, life is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, that he is the goal. He is the reason why I'm alive. He is the reason behind everything I do. He is the goal behind everything and anything I do. He is the goal behind my life. He is my life. The unity and the fellowship between Christ and St. Paul is just an amazing one. In another point in Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Who can say that? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He was full of passion of Christ. You think that this preacher or this evangelist, you know, who believed long time ago, now he's over that. He is down from his spiritual and his emotional and passionate peak was Christ. He was not in a great way. So many times during his epistles, whether in the beginning of his ministry, in the middle, or in the end, he was in love with Christ. As you read 2 days ago also in your quiet time, and I hope you're doing your quiet time regularly, in Romans 8:35, when he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's towards the end of his life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We were meditating on that actually and you know, together and saying, the word love cannot come from a Middle Eastern man 2,000 years ago. You can hardly hear it from a Middle Eastern man, you know, in the 21st century now. And you're hearing it from an old, single man, Middle Eastern, 2,000 years ago. And he talks about love a lot. He talked about love more than anything else. What is the source of love in his life? It is Christ. He taught him what love is. What does it mean to love? What does it mean to give life is? How to be passionate and compassionate, and how to be, you know, in love with someone. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And I think this is not even one of the lists of the things that separate us from Christ. I think there is much trivial things would separate us from the love of Christ. Less than that. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's like we are conquering everything through your love. It's like this is the main force that we have. This is like this is what's motivating us, is that love. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say that? Can you say that? Or let me ask you another question. How is your fellowship with Christ? Can you say the same words? That Christ is your life, is the reason of your living, is the goal of your life. We all love God, and we have the love of Christ in our heart. But what's the difference between our love for Christ and St. Paul's love? What is the difference? Why our prayers are shallow and sometimes a burden? Why is it just superficial? Why the relationship is so easily interrupted by so many things, even trivial things? I don't want to say perils or sword or life or death, but even very trivial things. Why? Why is this happening? Why the time with God is boring and not fulfilling, is not full of that passion? I think, as I said, we do all love Christ very much. But the difference is, he is not number one. Or let's not say that he's not number one. Maybe he's number one. But there is so many other things that we a lot of times put before him. A lot of times, sometimes we care about our life or myself before him. I would prefer my rest over him. I would prefer my comfort before him. I would put my ego and my image before him. There are so many things that a lot of times we put before him. Maybe not all the time, but we know that there is a lot of things, maybe a sin, maybe a desire. There are things that we really like, and it's so embedded or so implanted in us that it's very easily take his place and makes him not number one. For example, when you're so tired and you can't pray, what does that mean? What does it mean? Prefer the rest and your body more than him. Sometimes we prefer the money more than him. Sometimes we prefer the desires more than him. Sometimes we prefer the sins more than him. We don't say it that way, and we don't presented that way, but this is the truth. You know, when someone is greedy, you know, we tell him plainly, you don't know what greed means, but you're greedy, it means that you love money more than your wife or your kids. No. Wait a minute, think about it. When you think about it, it's true. That's why they tell a person never get married to a greedy person, because he loves the money more than anyone else. You know, and so on. I'm not saying, you know, money, but there is a lot of things that come first. So, thank God that we're having the self-evaluation, and I really, really, really hope that you are doing it regularly. Because I'm telling you, you know, I sent you the email recently, and the reason why I sent it, because I've seen a lot of miracles happening, a lot of changes happening because of this in a very short time. And I really hope that you benefit from that, that you being regular in that, that you create this habit of reviewing yourself daily. It makes the biggest difference. At least it makes you alert in your spiritual life, that you're not just numb and things just go slowly and the carpet is pulled from under your feet without you noticing that. So I hope you're doing that. And through that, hopefully, you may know what is in your heart, what's taking your attention, what's taking number one priority in you, what's stepping before God a lot of time. And hopefully, the first step that we can do is, what are these things? You know, this is the goal. The goal is not to check on things and to make check marks. No. The real goal is to see, what are the hindrances? What are the things that get in the way between me and God? And to tell you the truth, these things may be trivial and little, but we love them more than God. And we have to be very, like, we have to face ourselves. And we have to be honest with ourselves. And when we discover it, believe it or not, it will be very hard to get rid of it. That's why the daily self-evaluation is very good. Someone told me something very nice. She said to me, you know, it makes me feel guilty when every time, every day, I had to check this, that this is one of my problems or this is one of my sins. And I think about it during the day. How can I, in the end of the day, not write it again as every other day that I'm still falling in the same problem? So it's making us alert. So I hope that we at least can identify what are these things that's capturing my heart, that's capturing my attention, that's taking the place of Christ. Why is not number one? Why his love is not taking control of the whole heart? From love the Lord your God from all of your heart, all of it. You can love everything else through it, but nothing to have any place or try to push his love away from the heart. So the first thing is to recognize these things. And in order to get rid of them, it will take a lot of time. And it will take a lot of prayer. Because these things are really implanted in us, maybe for years. We don't expect this to go away in one day. And that's why, again, the self-evaluation is not a repentance over one day, but it's something keeps you accountable every single day. Where am I in this particular issue? Is it improving? Am I still falling into it or not? And you keep reviewing yourself in these things, especially the weak areas. So admit these things. Put it in Christ's hands. The second point is give them up. Lord, I know that this takes your place. I know that I put these things before you sometimes. I give it up to you. And I know that I'm not very serious. Sometimes I will take it back, but this is really what I like to do. So give me the strength. Give me the help. You know, these are the things that I like, and with my own will, I'm giving them up to you. So even if I can't do it, please help me to do it. And as the Bible says, unless the Son sets you free, you will never be free. So he will set us free when he sees that we are serious in his love and we really want to put him number one, that he is the reason why I'm living. He is the reason why I'm serving. He is the reason why I do everything that I do daily is I do it for him. Be thankful, and all what you do it for the Lord as you're doing it for him. So really you can say that for me to live is Christ. So I hope you may benefit from these little meditations that we really benefited from. Glory be to God forever and ever.